Podcasting 2.0 for January 2nd, 2026, episode 246, Crap Trap. Well, happy new year, everybody. Welcome back to the boardroom for Podcasting 2.0. That's right. What is going to be happening this year? Well, we're not looking back, that's for sure. We're only looking forward. In fact, we are the only boardroom that does not have free daycare. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who only gets smarter with each year that passes. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the pod sage himself, Mr. Dave Jones.
I'm looking at this picture you sent of your wiring closet.
It's not a wiring closet. It's a closet full of wires.
Okay, of your wire closet.
Yes.
Wire.
Yes, where I keep my stuff.
I think I spot the your how do I describe it? Your aborted project?
The Podcaster Pro?
Podcaster Pro.
No.
I think I spot one. No. What am I seeing in
that
here?
That is the Pod Mobile.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Pod Mobile.
Yeah, the Pod Mobile, which is still selling. People like it a lot. I still recommend people get it. It's that perfect, you know, you want two microphones, you want to have someone on Skype or Clean Feed or Zoom or Riverside or whatever. You want built-in noise gate compressor limiter. That's the box.
I totally forgot about the Pod Mobile.
It's fantastic. It's a good little rig.
What's the blue thing with this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 knobs.
The blue thing?
Hold on. That's a half rack.
That's not a half. No, that's one of those weird, weird sizes that doesn't really fit anywhere. I'll tell you what that is. The blue one?
Yeah, it's a 3/7 rack.
Oh, I can't focus on it. It's underneath my Motu M4. Motu, yeah. EXPS. I think that's a. Hold on, let me see. That's a.
Oh, you're actually going in the closet. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. That's a Presonus compressor limiter.
Oh, is that the tube one you're talking about?
No. The TLS? No, that thing is in the garage somewhere. That thing is huge. That's like a 19-inch rack high.
The studio that used to be over, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but there used to be a great studio over here in Homewood, which is about 5 minutes away from me. Mm-hmm. And they had a plate reverb. In a room by itself because you couldn't have anything. It was a humongous plate.
Yep.
Huge. Just hanging on it like a... It was in this big contraption suspended by wires.
So
it was great.
When I was working in the Netherlands, 1984, at the big government-run facilities, and we were kind of like the pirates who came in and we were playing music they'd never heard before, and we had 3 hours on Friday night, but there would be someone else. I think it was actually the Evangelical Broadcast Corporation. They had a couple hours before us.
EFCO.
And so all the microphones, any reverb was also done in a plate room. And the plate room was open one time. And so when they cracked the mic, we were yelling into the plates and you could hear us come our reverbs. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you could just yell into it.
This is like... Eddie Van Halen with Makita drill over his pickup. It just grabs everything around.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Everything in the environment.
Yeah. How was your New Year's, brother?
It was good.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, by the way, though? That's the most important. You were down.
Yeah. I'd say energy level is 95%. Head clarity, about 95%. Snot quotient, very high.
you're still like just pumping out the snot for no apparent
reason. Yeah, I've been using the mute button a lot this week. Sneezing and snottering. Yeah, it's okay. But
whenever you say I'm down, that clearly means you are in bad shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't usually say that.
Although for a while though, I was able to do Alex Jones's voice really perfectly. I don't think I got it anymore.
Got New World Order. Yeah, I love Candace, but she's got it all wrong. Got it all wrong. We got all the documents. We got the documents. I've been telling you for years about this stuff.
Oh, that's good. You
pretty good. Pretty close. Pretty close. Yeah.
This yeah, everybody around me has it. I'm you know me. I mean, I'm a virus magnet. Yes. I get everything.
You are a seething infected human resource.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah,
usually.
A little Tupperware of pus and mucus. But
wait, show title, Tupperware of Pus. Okay, got it.
That's great. Yeah, that'll really draw them in.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I usually get everything, but people are just sick all around me for weeks now, and I'm immune. I don't know what is going
that
on.
That is interesting, because Tina stayed away from me, because when she's sick, then she gets really sick. So she didn't get it, but we were on No Agenda yesterday. I guess ABC got the big pharma bucks for this week or something. So they were just like, super flu. It's got the flu. Everyone's got the flu. Oh, we got people dying from the flu. And they admitted in the report that the science got it wrong. They guessed on the wrong influenza this year. So if you got the flu shot, it's not going to help. But the best thing the best thing you can do right now is get the flu shot. I swear to God.
it's not going to help, but you should go ahead and get it anyway.
I'm telling you. It's the craziest thing.
Cool. So, that's good reasoning.
I had a bit of a, I don't know if an epiphany is the right word, but, for the past, I don't know, it's been months now, there's been all this talk of HLS video, alternate enclosures, which is all fine. I'm all good with it. And I decided to look a little, and the one thing I've heard is, well, Apple doesn't support HLS video. And that's, of course, and if Apple doesn't support it, no one's ever going to do it. It'll never happen. We're all going to follow. We're all going to die. And I was thinking that HLS audio, if there was ever a way to differentiate podcasting, and I'm talking about the podcast industrial complex, because I'm here for everybody. I have no dog in the hunt, but if you, and I don't know if exactly the reasons why this hasn't been discussed, but if we put HLS audio in the alternate enclosure, which might actually motivate Apple to recognize the alternate enclosure, the Apple Podcast app loves HLS audio. Has no problem with it.
Wait, the Apple Podcast app?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I'm pretty sure
In the regular enclosure?
In the regular enclosure, yeah. They don't recognize the alternative enclosure.
But, yeah, so you're telling me that the Apple Podcast app will read an HLS media type out of the enclosure?
99% sure. And this, of course, most podcast apps do, because it's an MU38 file, right?
It's a playlist.
Yeah, it's a playlist. Wouldn't that be a huge differentiator for the quote-unquote industry if we were able to actually pinpoint if someone heard the ad? Because when you have HLS audio, you can do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is this hemming and hawing you're doing at me?
No. I'm not eschewing you. Mm-hmm. I'm assenting. That's a contemplative assent is what that is.
Everyone's talking about HLS video. Why not do HLS audio? Because then you could finally deliver to the advertisers what they really want. Now, I believe no one wants to push for it because, oh my God, when they find out that they're just counting downloads and they're not actually listening, we're going to lose out. But I would say the opposite is if
let me pop your bubble though. I don't think it's necessary to pinpoint the ads because you can already do that's already done with range requests if you're talking about streaming.
But that's no one's reporting that. They're only reporting downloads, or am I incorrect? I mean, I'm talking about
they're counting for it. They're they're accounting for it. It's part of the IAB measurement standard is the how to handle a range request. You know, I don't know how they tie that back to ads, like at the slots and all that stuff. I don't know about that.
I just thought if we could move the industry away from downloads only, which is, as far as I know, is still the metric, instead of we can tell you exactly who heard your host read ad or whatever. I'm, you know, for DAI, whatever, it's all fine. But really being able to pinpoint, here's how many people heard your ad, I think that your CPMs would go up like dramatically.
Let me see if I can replay this back to you. You're saying if there was an HLS audio, and I think you could do MPEG-3 over HLS, I think.
Yeah, sure you can.
Yeah, okay. So you can do MP3 over H. So if you're saying something like MP3 over HLS, that if that was the delivery format, that then it would be the default would become streaming instead of downloading, and that would make for broader attribution of ad placement listens.
It's all about attribution. I would say the way it would go is if we had a couple of hosts, and I think there's a few, that would provide an alternate enclosure, because I'm trying to accomplish a few things at once. An alternate enclosure with HLS MP3, then we could offer a nice sample to advertisers based upon the modern podcast apps that would implement this by serving up. So you can still download. And so everything is extra. It's more file storage. There's a lot more work for everybody. But you could then offer maybe 5 or 6 different podcast apps that would give you a sample of how many people heard your ad. You can extrapolate that into whatever formula you want, but it might actually spur Apple to recognize the alternate enclosure. And once we have that, then we have all kinds of fun stuff we can do. Does that make sense?
Yes, I follow your I follow your chain of reasoning. I don't know. I see where you're going, but it seems like they would be more likely to tie it to a new feature rather than an invisible, already sort of mostly supported feature. Because the problem is you
can't just switch to HLS MP3. For everybody, because you're gonna break all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the bots that go out and look at stuff. You get size issues. You know, how many bytes? All kinds of stuff breaks if you do that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you have like, I feel like an Apple or a Spotify or somebody like that would be more likely to adopt video HLS in the alternate enclosure than audio HLS, because they just thinking from their terms, they've already got the audio part nailed down. You know, that now I think I just don't think they would want to do like an invisible feature.
Well, I'm trying to create something that is unique to audio podcasting for the apps versus everybody trying somehow to catch up and compete with YouTube, which you can't. You can't. Mm. You just can't.
No.
So why waste all this time, energy, and money on sending out video, which people are just going to watch video in YouTube and TikTok and et cetera, et cetera? Why not create something unique that is unique for advertisers? Because that's what it comes down to for the complex.
But see, YouTube is just a different thing.
It comes to where the money's going, it's not.
But when it comes to the way that people, what people choose to enter to listen to, or watch, like when it comes to listening to a podcast, I go to my podcast app. When it comes to audiobooks, I go to Audible. When it's when it's something other than YouTube.
But yeah, exactly. You just said it. But that's not the crisis the industry feels it's in. Listen to the most recent episode of the Podcast Weekly Review.
Oh, I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's if we don't do video, podcasting's going to die. Now, I don't agree with that, but I understand the motivation to take what it must to shoehorn video into podcast apps, which I just think is a mistake. I've said this before. I don't care. It's fine if we do it. That's okay. But you're not going to win. You're not going to beat free YouTube hosting for your podcast. People will release an MP3 podcast and they're going to put it on YouTube or Rumble or wherever. So I just don't see that. Instead of fighting that, why not offer something more to the advertising industry that gives them a good, warm feeling about audio?
Now, I'm trying to see the aspects. I'm trying to see something in what you're talking about that makes sense to me. I think I may see a little bit of something. So, if you're the one thing that HLS would have that the other that MP3 delivery, out of whole cloth, as it were, doesn't have right now, or it would be the ability to stream ads, I think in a more simplistic way. I think my understanding of the way the stack works on the hosting side, when there's dynamic ad insertion, is, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of the way it works is that the hosting company has the source audio, so they have you as the podcaster upload, and I'm talking about as a host, if you're using a hosting company. So you would upload it to, let's say, Blueberry. Blueberry hands it off to SoundStack, hands that MP3 file off to SoundStack, which does some insertion, some ad insertion, and then delivers it back with the ads baked in.
Well, you're talking about ad insertion. I think that's a race to the bottom. I still think host-read ads are more valuable. But are very difficult to track when you're talking about inserted ads. The industry has inserted ads kind of figured out. But if you want to make more money at a higher CPM, that's when HLS becomes a magic bullet.
So you're not talking about DAI. You're talking about something that's baked in.
Yeah.
During recording.
Yeah. DAI is crap. That's it's $3 CPM. It's going all the way down to the toilet. Okay. Of course. And that's why it's not valuable. The host read ads are very valuable, but they've fallen, as far as I can tell, a little bit out of favor. Joe Rogan has solved that by interrupting the show 5 times an hour and jamming in some ads that sound like they're read by him, but they might not even be. And I'm sure they track that too. But the natural flow, if we step back, 5 years and we have someone a host read ad, which is always, always going to have a higher CPM, but that you can actually track it, how many people heard it, just seems like that would be better.
Side note real quick. If you are a big audio production podcast or otherwise, why would you not, with the current voice cloning technology, why would you not just hire a staff member to do all of your ad reads with a cloned voice on your behalf? That way you never have to read a lick of anything.
Because they suck.
But they use 11 labs or something like that.
I've tried 11 labs. It sucks. It's not consistent. It's not great at cloning. It's just not. None of it is.
Couldn't you have somebody reading it, but then it's just making you sound like the other person?
Yeah, but that second part you said, making you sound like it, in reality, it doesn't really work that well.
Oh, okay. All right.
or it sounds dead. I mean, hey, what is the problem? Just read the ad.
But they don't want to.
Well, that's a different issue. But if I'm paying for Joe Rogan, I want to hear Joe Rogan.
I mean, the whole relationship with advertising, and I don't know if you listened to the latest media roundtable.
No, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it. No.
He was interviewing these two girls from Girls Gone Bible. It's a podcast.
I already like it.
I'm sure these are nice young ladies, but the questions about their relationship, you know, and they're Christians and that kind of thing, but the sort of like tortured relationship that they were trying to work through with advertisers, it hurt my heart.
Wait, like, before you continue, I just want you to hear 11 Labs, an ad from Adam Curry. Okay, here we go.
This is Adam Curry, and you're eating Farmer's Dog.
That's terrible.
He's number two.
This is Adam Curry, and you're eating Farmer's Dog.
See, that's my voice, but it sounds like crap.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like anything you would do.
Exactly.
That's like you on steroids or something.
I don't know what it is. It's no good. All right, back to the Bible ladies.
Oh yeah, the Girls Gone Bible. They said the same like thing that we hear from most podcasts. I'm not criticizing them. This is just kind of what you have to do. Every podcaster you will hear says the same thing when they're talking about their relationship to advertisers. They're like, if I don't believe in the product, I'm not going to talk about it on my show.
You're right.
Exactly. And we all sort of internally eye roll that because we're like, look, man, if somebody offers you a lucrative ad deal, you're gonna make it set. What you're gonna do is you're gonna
love Farmer's Dog. It's gonna taste great.
You're gonna make yourself love it.
Yes, like, of course.
You may not be lying to the audience, but you may be lying to yourself.
Oh man, and to Jesus, which is even worse.
Well, and the thing that made me just sort of just laugh out loud was that it got to a point where Dan Granger was like, "Do you have a?" Do you have an example of a certain type of ad or whatever? And one of the girls was like, yeah, there was this great mattress that we loved. And, what was it again? Like,
just loved it so much. I don't remember what it was.
And she was like, she pitched to the other girl and was like, what was the name of that mattress? And the other girl was like, I can't really remember right this second. Give me a minute. Neither one of them could remember this mattress that they quote unquote loved.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I'm like, man, this advertising relationship thing is so, I mean, I think I understand what your motivation here is. Your motivation is a technical one.
I want to help people. My motivation is I want to help people because they're stuck in this loop of video and I can just see it coming down Broadway. It's going to be meh. Yeah, it's you know, put a lot of effort into it. Yeah. Okay.
I've sort of been in, for some reason, I've gotten into, in addition to the Girls Gone Bible, I've gotten into a couple of other, like, what we call Gen Y women podcasts.
Oh, is this an OnlyFans thing?
No. So I'm writing an app for I'm writing an application that will help people monitor the index. I was hoping to have it ready today, but it just did not come together in time. But it's a console app that you can run in a terminal. And it will use the recent feeds endpoint, and the goal of this application is going to be to help people run it on their machine.
It's a crap trap.
A crab trap. Yeah. And so you run the application. It'll give you a whole, it will show you all the new feeds that are coming into the index in nearly real time. You can.
And you use your own neural networking to determine what's crap.
You can triage it. Yeah. You can hook your own functions into it and that kind of thing in order to do, like, lots of people can do all kinds of cool stuff with it. And then feed that. If you have a read write key, API key for the index, you'll be able to feed that triage back into the index to let us know whether something, what type of stuff this is.
I like it. A dashboard.
It's a dashboard.
It's a dashboard. Yes,
it's a dashboard. Yeah. And so I've been listening. So part of what this app does is you can just like cursor around on these new feeds and you can hit the P button and it'll just play the latest enclosure.
Oh, awesome.
So you can listen and try to, because sometimes you think something's AI, but you're not sure. So you can play a sample of it.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to, there's
good stuff apparently.
Oh, there's some great stuff in here. But man, if you just watch the fire hose, yikes.
Oh, I'm sure it's fun. I love looking at podping.tiles or whatever it is. I love seeing the new stuff update.
I almost wish I had like a radio button that you could just like listen to 30 seconds of each one as they're coming in.
Well, that'll be the first thing I vibe code the minute you release this console. You bet.
So like this is another, I'm calling them Gen Y girl type thing. I sent you some clips. The one I listened to yesterday was, she's like a therapist or something, and she's giving, I've got multiple little tidbits of advice that she's giving that I will just sprinkle throughout the show.
What is the name of this? Name of this podcast?
I don't even remember. It was something so generic that I don't even remember. It was like Success for Life. I don't even know.
Okay.
I don't remember what her name was. I don't know.
It's like the mattress. It's so good. I clipped it, but I don't remember the name of the show. Okay.
All I had was the enclosure download. That's all I remember from this thing.
Oh, it came from your console, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. For a little sample of this, let's do her advice on success.
You send someone an email because you would like them on your podcast.
By the way, she's using the same microphone Mitch Downey's using.
You send someone an email because you would like them on your podcast or blog or like some kind of collaboration, right? You send them an email because you want to collab in some shape, way, or form.
Collab.
Whatever, okay? And you don't hear back from them and you're like, okay, whatever. And you just give up on yourself, but you haven't really gotten an answer. So the door is open, right? There's sometimes when you send stuff and people don't respond, but you don't never not follow up because you want to get an answer, right? And to see whether the door is closed and, or at least mostly closed, right?
Right.
Because then you can be like, okay, I'll reach out in 6 months' time or whatever, right?
Right.
And like get back on their radar, right? But right. For now, you know that the radar is closed and you're complete with that. Versus you doing a half-assed job and only reaching out once. That is leaking success because you're leaking the possibility of more success because you haven't followed up on something with someone. This goes for like when you're applying for jobs too. Like if you really want a job at a certain place, then you want to follow up. You know, you want to keep applying. You want to like get into it somehow.
Now,
do you consider that good advice?
No, but I consider it a valid podcast. That's for sure. It's a great pod. I'd listen to this from time to time, just a little bit, like a sampling. Sure.
Oh, I listened to 3 episodes of it. And I still have no idea what her name is. But I couldn't stop listening to it. It was great.
Well,
I mean, I was getting ISO. I could have hit you with 75 ISOs from this podcast.
Well, I want to hear the donation segment advice because is that from her?
But it's for the donation segment.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. It's all right. I got you.
No, you can hit the ISO though.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually terrible at like tabs on my computer.
There was 100 of those.
You know, I'm thinking all of it, you know, I have streaming on my mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great to have a 24/7 live stream that just plays 30 seconds of every new episode that hits the recent API endpoint?
That would be horrible.
No, no, it's a discovery mechanism, baby.
This is you are an agent of chaos.
I am. This is actually, I'm kind of liking this idea now. I mean, anything that's streaming, I'll listen to it. It's like streaming crap is fantastic. Okay. Yeah, I can't wait for this console.
Chaos radio, chaos podcast radio.
Yes. Yeah. Well, people are always looking to be discovered. Well, there you go.
That's true.
Well, and just one other thing before we bring our very patient guests on.
Yeah.
And I think this was a thread, and I can't remember exactly who started it, but it was about the, you know, kind of a follow-on to change my feed or my podcast, this or whatever we were talking about.
Yeah. Move your podcast. Whatever. Yeah.
Hold on, I got to sneeze.
Go.
No. It didn't happen. It's when you have to sneeze and you say it, and then it doesn't happen. That's the worst. I don't know where it came up somewhere. Someone said, what about a verified check mark? You know, instead of to verify your feed and then have a check mark type system, people mm-hmm. love doing that. I remember I was trying to say, how do we market this idea that people actually do this? But what if the index became the place where you could check to see that a feed was verified? I had it just yesterday. Someone emailed me, say, I'm listening to this. You know, I'm subscribed to Alex Jones. Can you check and see if this is the right one? And it wasn't. So someone had added a bogus feed. It was from Spreaker, feed hijack. And I successfully merged it in with the official feed. I was pretty proud of myself. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if you had that check mark and you could always verify it on mm-hmm. Podcast Index? And we could do some auto verification through the host, maybe even with an iTunes ID. Mm-hmm. Who else is going to do it?
Nobody.
We're trusted enough as far as you can throw us. I mean, here we are. We're in our sixth year. You know, we're not making any money off of this. It's just running. It's just there. We do this podcast. Why? I don't even know.
I don't even know anymore.
I like talking to you. I mean, it's like, I like talking to Dave. You know, give a chance to connect. But we could be that place. You know, podcastindex.org could be a verified place. You could expose an API, see if it's verified, etc. And then when people find something that's checkmarked and it's not theirs, they freak out, but they have an easy way to come into us. We look at the dashboard, the crap trap. Oh, bam, you're good. Pop, pop. You know, mm-hmm. it could be, we could provide that service. And that might clean up a lot of different stuff. I mean, let's not wait for someone else to build a website. We have the website. We have everything you need.
Yeah, I think that actually kind of fits with similar to something I was thinking, which was I feel like I need to actually put a decent dashboard into Podcast Index now. And I know how to do it now because I finally have a good PHP framework, Laravel. That I'm now just very familiar with, and I got multiple projects under my belt. So I think you're right. I think that's a good idea. This because I've been trying to figure out how to like do the beginning of this thing that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm.
And now you feel it. You feel it.
I'm starting to see. It's starting to sort of like solidify in my. In my mind, what the beginning of it looks like. And I think it begins with just a new dashboard that would allow people to come and interact like what we've been talking about. People who actually own the podcast, they can go log in, have an account and do the management of it themselves.
Wow. Wow. So that's hardcore.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it's great. Manage your checkmark.
I don't think it's actually that hard.
I'm just saying having a check mark, a verified flag, whatever it is, people will go for that.
Yeah. I think you're right.
And if the result is that we clean up the index and subsequently everybody else can can clean up their own directories through us. Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, and I think we can this is the next step we need, and then we'll figure out how to sort of like disseminate that in a decentralized way, mm-hmm. where it can be, a tag or something like that.
No, man, we just dump the whole table into a Tor file.
A torrent. Yeah, that's popular.
Yeah. A torrent. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just a thought.
But on your HLS thing real quick, I forgot to bring up, but it's the first thing here in my notes is finally there's HLS native support in Chrome.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
interesting.
Chromium added native HLS support in the video tag.
Hmm.
Now, I'm assuming the audio tag too, because underneath the hood in Chromium, audio and video tags are both just clones of the media tag.
Ah.
So they should both have support for this now.
So the train is rolling. Nothing stops this train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, if we're going to do HLS, this would pressure WebKit to support it in the video, in their native audio video tags. And that might just make things trickle down. I think things are moving finally on the HLS front.
Yeah. Well, the one thing we've learned is these things take, well, we already knew this. These things take a lot of time.
Forever.
And that's just what it is. But we're in this for the long haul. We're doing it for humanity. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it for us.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, you and I like each other enough to keep doing it. So that's kind of good.
Yeah, it's just this show is just a check. It's just a slot on the calendar.
That's right. It's just another thing I do. I go to church. I do the show with Dave. Walk the dog. It's just another one of those things you do. Hey, let's bring in our guests. They've been waiting very patiently as we've been yammering about here, but we haven't heard from them in a long time. Boardroom, please welcome from the new Podverse Web Alpha and Podverse Legacy. Here are Mitch and Archie.
Howdy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
There it is. It was Archie first, then Mitch. Hey, guys, how are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Doing good. Happy New Year.
So I told you, Mitch, you have a career as a Gen Y podcast lady.
Oh, my.
Less
vocal fry and upspeak, though.
Well, that's true. Do you have, all of a sudden, there's some extra audio artifacts that are coming down the line. Do you have a fan on?
It could be that the radiant heat in my building has just turned on. So
it's steam?
This is going to be a rough experience.
He's got steam gauges.
Just kind of like Alpha, this is an aesthetic choice. It's a rough product right now.
I think it would probably help to hear Gen Y ladies' advice on something.
Sorry, missed the cue.
Just getting into the habit of closing things, like closing the door on things, so we're not leaking our energy, thought awareness, and thought process on things into things that, like, we don't need to be in them, if that makes any sense.
Wow.
Did you get that?
Wow. Yeah. she's great. Anyway, let's get back to our guests, because Mitch has been started kind of ramping up posting on podcastindex.social in the last couple of months. After some absence, it seems. Maybe just bring us up to speed, Mitch. What's been going on with you and Archie, and what's been happening in the background, and tell us about the Web Alpha, and just bring us up to speed, man. It's been a long time since we spoke.
Sure. Well, 2024, I was pretty burnt out on software development after 9 years of doing open source software. I just didn't have it mentally to be able to focus and take Podverse to the next level. I also knew that a big rewrite was needed to take it to where I wanted to be. And I feel like 2024 was just like a lot of processing and resetting to be able to be up for the task. 2025, progress has been very good. We have basically like 90% of the infrastructure complete for the next generation Podverse. So a lot of the work that's done isn't necessarily visible with what's on the website right now, but it's there. And I think the pieces are falling together quickly. So yeah, we have the website currently at alpha.podverse.fm, which is a live demo for people to get a preview of what is coming soon.
So if I understand correctly, you are developing the new Podverse app by creating the whole infrastructure first and exposing that on the web.
Yes. So Podverse 1, the legacy version, that started, well, technically it started in like 2015, but that new infrastructure started in 2019 before Podcasting 2.0 existed. So I had a lot of assumptions built into that, what people know of as Podverse today, that had no concept of Podcasting 2.0, no concept of music ever being a part of it, for example. And so developing with it was always kind of fighting against all these root assumptions I made about what a podcast is, what Podverse would do. Now, this new version is from the ground up built to align with the Podcasting 2.0 namespaces. And there's all kinds of technical reasons why it's a better way to do it. And it will allow us to easily integrate these features going forward.
Eric, by the way, Mitch, Eric PP says it sounds like you're in the shower.
He is. I think he is.
You're taking a pod shower.
I cannot stop the radiators. They're controlled by my landlord. So he has some leaf blowers outside of his house. So it's going to be a rough ride.
No, instead of listening to a podcast in the shower, do a podcast in the shower. That's the best. That's the better alternative. Yeah.
But you know, I just wanted to tell you, Mitch, I just brought it up on OP3.dev. If you look at the apps that are used for the No Agenda show, 35.35% is Apple Podcast. That's the top. Number two, Podverse, 14.67%. So you're number two on my list, man. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that is. And I moved to a different room. Hopefully it's.
Oh, yeah. That made all the difference.
Okay, good. yeah, that's been one of the most encouraging things is to see how popular Podverse is with the No Agenda audience. And like we aren't necessarily the most popular podcast app, but we're very popular with certain audiences and we get a lot of appreciation from those audiences. And so it helps us know that we're on the right track.
Why do you think that is? What do you think it is that does that?
I think it's mostly you recommending podcast apps. And for whatever reason, a lot of people are choosing Podverse. They're going, you know, through newpodcastapps.com. And it's mostly word of mouth, it seems to be. This is a direction we want to lean into with marketing going forward. I mean, we want to reach everyone, but we also are like happy to deliver the best experience possible for like specific shows and their audiences. Podcasting 2.0 features may not have, it might be a small number of feeds today that use these features, but for those shows, we want to deliver the best experience possible to be the best app for that purpose.
I think that's a really good idea. And I've always found it curious that podcast apps don't work more or at all with podcasters. You know, we've always had this kind of, it has to be fair for everyone. It has to be equal for everybody. And I just don't, I've given my Rachel Maddow example in the past. It's like, why? It's like Fountain. Fountain has a very specific audience, and I think they're very successful for that audience. So
yeah, and that's pretty much the philosophy we're going with Podverse is were designed first for these, you know, future forward podcasting 2.0 feeds. We will have support for legacy feeds, but they're not our priority to the same degree as the podcasting 2.0 feeds are.
Like, okay.
So, for example, alternate enclosure is at the root of our architecture. We don't even have a traditional enclosure. We like convert it into an alternate enclosure. Like, we use these design patterns that are 2.0 focused.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. I like that.
How are you, this is interesting from the perspective, I think, of many developers, not just podcast app developers, but anybody who has a forward facing web service or application, that when you come to the point of deciding that you're going to do a rewrite, it's always the first question is in what order do we do things in? Like, you have the quote unquote stack that represents the full application from the user, what the user sees, all the way through to the data storage at the very end of the chain. Where do you choose what pieces to push in and out and change out and swap out in the stack first, and what order to do them in? Like, how did you figure that out?
Well, it seemed the logical starting point for me was to do a one-to-one matching with the 2.0 spec. So it was the data schema that came before everything else, and parsing. And then from there, making the parsing as efficient as possible. I don't know how to explain it without getting too technical, but like, our data schema is pretty much a one-to-one match with these join tables with all the different XML fields that are, you know, a part of RSS feeds.
At some point, you seem to be running two separate systems right now, the new one and the old one. Is that accurate?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So I decided to go with a totally green field environment. There will be a great migration.
You like pain.
There will be a migration someday, which I think will be feasible.
I love migrations.
But you know, in order to work with the legacy one, it was just so, there were just so many problems with, it just, like I said, those root assumptions that I'm constantly battling, and poor coding patterns, and I'm now a better coder now. Yeah. So it was just like, all right, just do the green field and we'll figure it out eventually how to migrate it. So for now, we're trying to make the website as good of a standalone product as possible. I mean, it's plausible that somebody could deploy this software for a website before we even have the mobile app done, and that it could be like a high quality website on its own.
So this is all still open source, Mitch?
Oh yeah, all open source.
I love it, man.
Of course.
You're really, really doing a lot.
I wouldn't be motivated without it. So yeah, that's phenomenal. I've always been that way.
And I should say right off the bat, the Godcaster app use a lot of your framework, I believe. Dave might know more.
The React native part of the mobile app. Yeah, I think it initially got things up and running, but I think he switched a lot of that code out. Now I don't think there's anything that's still left in there. But yeah, it was a
great
really
help.
Helpful thing to bootstrap it. Yeah,
it was for sure. So Archie,
I was going to say this is a good point for Archie, because he is helping with the operations and deployment side a lot, and he's taking us in a direction that'll allow like to make self-hosting simple for other people.
Oh, okay. Take it away, Archie.
So I've been doing a bunch of DevOpsy stuff for the past several years for Podverse. Lately, I got into Kubernetes K8s, and I decided to move the entire infrastructure over to that, which means with only a couple of files or repo, you could deploy your own Podverse on your own systems. Wow. I've also been including the idea to Mitch about doing the podcaster-specific apps, so that not everybody will get to add a podcast to these apps. So you could have your feed or your app just with your stuff in it and nothing else. There'd have to be some white label stuff done to make it prettier for everybody. But at the end of the day, you could have your Rachel Maddow app just for her, and she could have the whole infrastructure just connected for that one person or podcaster.
Wow.
And it's easy enough that I've been able to rebuild the whole thing in about 10 minutes.
Do you and Alex Gates live in the same house?
No.
Do you notice that, Dave? How Archie's cadence is very similar to Alex.
That is, I think these are deeply technical people, and
deep tech dudes. Yeah.
But explain. I don't fully understand what you mean, Archie. When you say that there's personalized sort of deployment for a particular person. Can you explain that?
So right now Alpha has the idea of ad feed. And so if it doesn't exist, we're not ingesting the entire index. We're only ingesting parts that people actually want to listen to. And if no one's listening to it or subscribe to it, we'll get rid of it. And we'll use the podcast index as our backup to find things later if someone wants it again. The feed, when you start out, it's an empty blank slate. And as you get more users and more people or admins, et cetera, it will get bigger and have only the things that actually matter to the listeners of that podcast app or the admin of the podcast app, web app.
Oh, I see what you mean. So if I was going to deploy my own Podverse, then it would be it would have a completely like a different complexion as far as content goes than the main podverse.fm.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. So that way.
That way we don't have to have 175 million podcasts in our podcast app just in case someone wants something from 10 years ago. We only need to have things that people need now, and we could save a lot on storage costs.
Yeah. And I think this is similar to what we did with Godcaster. We did the same thing. We don't ingest the entire index. It's only when somebody decides to add, you know, a show that it actually gets into the content mix. But I was thinking about this. If y'all have the thing that has impressed me the most about what you guys are doing with the next generation Podverse is the care that you're taking with the database schema. And I'm wondering if Podcast Index should just adopt your schema, you know, because I'm actively thinking about the new structure of things, and you know, you've been helping with the code as well as Eric PP, and so I wonder I'm not a Postgres guy, but I'm wondering if you already have the schema that y'all think is great. I mean, why would we not just adopt that instead of trying to recreate the wheel all over again?
Well, we're happy to give you a tour of it. Like I said, it attempts to be a one-to-one match with RSS. If you can picture that, just like with join tables. So there's like, you've got a channel, but then you also have a channel pod role, and then you have channel pod role remote item. And those are three separate tables, and it's just supposed to align with the RSS spec, because at the core what Podverse is. RSS app.
You also do the time split?
Yep. Yes,
with the remote items? Perfect.
Yes, we have all of the data being parsed and saved. That is all finished. It's just a matter of bringing the features into the apps now.
Man, you did something real. It's really amazing to do this. I mean, not many podcast app developers would go this route and say, okay, we're just going to redo it all.
Yeah, well, it's been a big undertaking, but I'm living off some savings at the moment, so I'm dedicating myself full time to this.
Wow.
And it's exciting. It's hard to explain to normal people why this is so exciting, but I really love working with this stuff, and the vision of podcasting 2.0 can do so much. And you know, I don't want to be bogged down by the talk of, oh, this app doesn't support it, so we can't do this, it can't do that. Like, to me, Podverse is just a way to move forward. You know, the specs are sound and the, you know, we know it can work. So let's just do it. And the rest of the industry can catch up if they want.
So it'll be a reference app for all things podcasting 2.0.
Yes.
Wow. That's very cool.
Eric PP's asking some stuff in the boardroom that I'm curious about as well. Cause, the way you described it, the way you described your database layout is that, if I understand you, is that you have basically every 2.0 tag is two additional tables. The table for the tag content itself and then a pivot table to get to it. Is that right?
I think so. I'm not really fluent at speaking about databases, but I mean, like I said, with the example, like in this spec, we have a channel element and then we have channel. Then we have a pod role that is nested within a channel. And then we have remote item, which is nested within pod role. And so from our spec, that would be three tables joined together.
Okay, maybe I misunderstood. So like for instance, a person tag in an item, in an episode, you would have, would you have the episode? I'm assuming you have an episodes table and then you would have a persons table. And then would you have an episodes to persons linkage table?
Yes, it depends. I forget what the person tag is. Those aren't grouped under one tag, right? Those are.
Or the funding tag. Use that as an example. Like a episode.
So the funding tag, if an item can have like five funding tags, then there'd be five rows in the item funding table that link to that item.
Okay.
And but you don't have item a third, because that's the RSS spec.
But you don't have like a third intermediary table that takes care of like linkage between the two. There's just a reference in the funding table that links back directly to the episodes table.
I think so. Yes.
Okay.
Can I just ask before Oystein Berge has a conniption, will you be supporting the live time splits live lit?
I would like to. I haven't seen the spec for it yet, but it's absolutely like, if there is a adopted standard for it, we absolutely would like to do that.
Okay. This is really cool. I can tell you right now that the whole idea of the white label, I will definitely make a no agenda Podverse app. That's just
cool.
Kidding me? That's fantastic. I love the whole idea.
Archie, have you seen what have you seen the Kubernetes switch do as far as like cost goes to y'all's system?
So I haven't done that on actual VPS. I've done that in my local. It's on three machines with 8 gigs and 2 CPUs on a VPS. So it's still going up and down. It's kind of just through it. I started out doing some tests. I'm going to actually throw another project into the boardroom that I initially started out based off of something else Adam said. And I put that into my Kubernetes cluster. It doesn't seem to be too bad, but it's going to be probably just for our infrastructure, not the database, $36 a month, maybe 50, just the way it seems. And then the database is as big as it needs because storage is the big problem. Right. And the thing I just posted, just to take that side note, Adam, this was for you specifically, a Flask app that checks the endpoints of a specific RSS feed, page or MPEG, JPEG, MP3, etc. So it just grabs them, checks them in GIS, and makes sure that they all have the same hash.
Oh, Vibe Coders Unite.
Yep.
Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you very much. My Flask app. Basic auth, baby. It rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the one thing that I've been concerned about. You know, I've been talking to you forever about looking at our infrastructure and that kind of thing. And I'm never able to put it together to get to get you in there to look at things. But that is one thing that I've been wondering about is how to containerize things in a way that because I'm so cost conscious. I mean, our overhead, you know, our expenses every month are not insignificant. And so, you know, we have, you know, about probably if you add it all up, probably 15 grand worth of expenses a year on the index. And, you know, so like I'm so worried about just accidentally blowing, you know, inflating our cost too much. And because that would be the worst possible thing is all of a sudden we go from, you know, $1,000 a month of fees to 1700. It's like, well, we can't do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. One of the biggest things for us when we had some cost realignments was switching our file system off of EXT4 to a copy and write file system like CFS with on the fly compression. That significantly saved us money because we weren't writing as much data to the disk. And then it was reading faster because it was reading compressed data.
And that's on the database server?
Yeah.
Really? Interesting.
So our database server was getting to like 700, 800 gigs for Postgres. I was able to get it down to about, I think we're up to 250 now with a mirrored pair of disks.
Yikes. 800 gigs. Woo. That's a lot.
That's like a whole blockchain, baby.
Yeah. That's big. I don't think we're anywhere near that. I think we're like, I want to say they were like 250 maybe on our database.
Well, that's a problem we're trying to solve with the new setup because the legacy version is a full clone of the directory of the podcast index directory. This one, I mean, I expect us to cut our number of feeds by like 95% in this new version. And not to mention probably a lot of schema problems I had with the first version that should be cleaner now.
So are you taking your, if I'm AB, I've been like AB back and forth between normal Podverse and Alpha Podverse. And, you know, as far as UI goes, they look almost identical. And so did you just take your existing UI for now and just stick it on top of the new back end? And then you're going to do something with that later?
No, the design will be very similar. This is an entirely new web app. And most of the changes are ones that people wouldn't see just from the surface. For example, all the components of the website are now differentiated by medium type. So we have podcasts, episodes, we have albums, we have tracks, we have artists. We have live streams. In the legacy version, I tended to use like one component and then like add a bunch of conditional statements to have it do different behaviors. Mm-hmm. And that's handy in some ways, but it is restrictive and also becomes a headache when you want to make, you know, an artist or an album look different than a podcast and, you know, to the user. So the front end is totally rewritten from scratch, and it's way more modular so that we will be able to optimize the different music, podcast, video, live stream experiences.
Interesting. Okay. It definitely, the alpha version definitely feels quicker. You know, it feels like things, parts of the site are sort of coming up in a more responsive way.
Yeah, it should. There are problems with the legacy site today that there are queries that just hang forever, unfortunately. Yeah. That won't be a problem going forward. I expect that we have that all solved with proper indexing with our new schema.
The one drawback to having separate tables per sort of like item type is you tend to have more locking, you know, database locking as things because updating or deleting content in one table, since you have just tons of linkage across tables, tends to have this kind of logarithmic ripple effect. Have you seen any of those kinds of issues?
I have been mindful to try to avoid those situations. We have transactions within the parser to try to group things together. We also use ActiveMQ, which is, we have deduplication to make sure that the same feed cannot be getting parsed at the same time. Which and aside from that, aside from what goes through the parser, there shouldn't be any writes to these, you know, RSS tables. There's no way for the users to directly change these tables with their actions. So the combination of deduplicated, make sure there's only one parser per feed running, and there's no outside changes possible. We're hoping that that will avoid those sorts of collisions.
Can I talk money for a second?
Of course.
So it's very hard to have a podcast app and actually make any kind of financial return for it. How's that been working in the past? Are you going to keep that the same? What are your ideas moving forward?
I think our ideas will be similar. Our goal is to deliver a much better optimized product to just be a top of the line elite listening experience. We do make revenue, which is encouraging. It almost covers our annual expenses. I don't know how specific I should be with numbers here, but we have almost 1,000 paying members.
Wow, that's cool.
For Podverse.
Nice.
That's great.
Which is great. It's far from a full-time job for us, which is the ultimate goal here. That would be nice. But yeah, we don't have like a novel payment system going forward. It's just try to make a much better product, and then we'll increase our marketing around that. I've had hesitation with marketing the legacy product because I'm so aware of all the problems with it. So now that this new version should have all of that fixed, like one of them namely being that the Android mobile app experience is noticeably like less high quality. There's more like clunkiness to our Android app compared to our iOS app.
So
we're going to make sure that's fixed going forward.
So will there be a premium version with premium features? Just asking people to support you on a monthly basis, regardless.
They'll get some extra features with premium. I think one of the main features people end up paying for is notifications. Because, I mean, that's something that our back-end service has to handle and send all these push notifications and register them to devices and stuff. And when people use the app, if they like it, it's like, well, there's this one missing link. I would really like to get notifications.
Right.
That seems to be one of the primary features.
Using Firebase for that?
We are using Firebase. We also have a unified push integration, which is like an open source way of handling notifications.
Did you hear me ask that question, Dave, with some authority? That was good, right?
I did. I'm impressed. Yes.
I want to jump in here about another possible financial reason to support premium. For the white label glove and adding feeds in the future, we're hoping to make that a paid feature, that you get like 50 feeds a month being paid, and then everybody gets to benefit from those feeds being added, which also gives us a signal saying that this is worthwhile for someone to actually think about and add to our podcast app.
Wait, explain that again. I didn't quite understand how that works.
So right now, Alpha, you sign up, you can add feeds.
Ah, okay.
In the new version, you'll have to make that, that's going to be a premium feature to add feeds like that. You'll still be able to do it on your phone as a separate thing, but when it gets added to our database, so there has to be some sort of signal saying that this is worthwhile for someone to actually add and not just slop.
Interesting. I like it. Not just slop. Well, you can make a lot of money off of, what are those guys called? Dave?
They don't send us money though.
No, not yet.
Inception Point.
Inception Point AI. Yeah. There's some money from them. Charge them double.
And then if anybody wants to add it, they can send us a contact form, or we can make a form and we could review it later and possibly add it.
I like
an interesting idea. I think you mentioned that on podcastindex.social the other day, and that's a good signal.
I mean,
if somebody's willing to pay for it, I mean, so is that you have to be a premium? Do you have to be a premium member to do that? Is that what that? Okay. Okay.
Another element. So the premium users for our new stats tracking system, where we track people's, I mean, you can opt out of this if you like, but you can, we track, you know, what podcasts they're listening to, what episode. We're only tracking that for the paid premium users to help reduce the ability to manipulate. And, you know, like the legacy version uses a tracking that's more of a conventional like website tracking. And it has its own like IP detection to try to prevent bots from artificially inflating numbers. But we're leaning into following the data only for premium members going forward so that there'll be a better like signal to noise ratio. It should be more meaningful, the stats data that we have. Mm-hmm. Which down the road could lead to like a better recommendations algorithm amongst other things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The signal to noise problem is real. I mean, obviously we're going through all this, jumping through all these hoops to try to make some sort of differentiation between what's garbage and what's not. And I mean, it's pretty simple idea, and it just reinforces my notion that the apps are what's going to help the index understand what's going on too. You know, if that feeds back up to us in any way, and I should probably get going and getting that up, you know, that data sharing stuff put back together.
Yeah, well, as we mentioned in DMs, like we can share this, the publicly available stats data with you. We could also potentially integrate some sort of report process into our UI that could feed back into some shared data resource with the podcast index. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not alone, by the way. Financially, you're not alone in the we're almost breaking even category. you know, we yeah. I talked to quite a few podcast app developers, you know, routinely, and that's not an uncommon thing. So I don't know that anybody's really making, you know, significant money in any of this. So that's, you can at least commiserate on that fact. our millennial podcaster girl has some advice on money though.
It's whether you value yourself and you know it's worth it or not. Sometimes when you don't pay as much, you don't show up as much, right? So if I only charged $100, you'd be like, oh, it's just $100. Like, you wouldn't care. You'd be half-assing it, you know? You wouldn't actually follow up and be consistent and do the things that I sent you an email about, which, by the way, those fucking emails take me at least an hour. So all in all, I'm spending at least 3-4 hours per person for a fucking session, you know? And that's why I price my things at the rate that they're at, which it's just going to go up over time because you're not just paying me for the work. You're paying me for the experience and all the things that I also went through to be able to quantum leap and help you get there as well.
Hey, Grok, put a bikini on her.
She's quantum leading, Adam.
Quantum leading.
Don't know what that means.
I love it. I think we should try it. Shall we thank a few people, mm-hmm. Dave, while we've just got that advice on how to be quantum leading?
Yeah.
We got a couple of boosts in real time. I think our node may be down again. Our LN node that you set up.
Uh-huh.
Just saying. But at least I'm getting something. I'm getting 1% over here from Martin Lindeskogh, Rove Ducks 2222. It's fun to be in the boardroom listening to programming talk. I am totally lost and on at the same time. You have the ducks in a row. All right. Gallagher. Have we ever heard from Gallagher?
Yeah, I think so. That's sounds familiar.
Coming in from, let's see, CurioCaster 333. The amazing Master Tool Corporation, a subsidiary of Fly By Night Industries, has entrusted who? Me, to show you the handiest and dandiest podcast tool you've ever seen. And don't you want to know how it works? Well, first you get out an ordinary feed, then you place the feed between the patented pans, then you reach for the tool that is not a slicer, it's not a dicer, it's not a chopper and a hopper. What the hell could it possibly be? It's the new Podverse app.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Salty Crayon with a row of swans, 555. Big fan of test driving the Alpha.Podverse app the past couple of months. It's a complete revamp from the previous version. Beautiful. Yep. A nice row of sticks, 11,111 from Boost Beach Management, coming in on Podverse Legacy. The winter chill is real. Warm up by the glow of the upcoming video stream of Boost Beach's grand opening. Local Minneapolis band, so Big performs live and lit with a boostable interactive set January 9th, 7 p.m. Central. Tune in at boostbeach.live and head there now to listen to the trailer. BYOB Swimwear and welcome. This is interesting.
Boost Beach.
Boost like Beach, it. Yeah. Salty Crayon 2026. Happy New Year, Boardroom. Another year of figuring out what works and what doesn't in podcasting. Here's to another year of keeping our scissors sharpened and our nodes pinging and ponging. Go podcasting.
Yeah.
And 100 sats from Fountain from user 5905973. I also hate the AI slop. And all the world takes... That is just normal. There's real artists or content creators that receive less attention than those stupid videos. If you see AI video, just block the channel or just scroll. Don't keep in there. Amazing podcast here. Thank you, guys. You reserve more than this. You reserve more than this. With I Can Help, have a good day. Lightning bolts. All right. Thank you very much. And with that, I hit the delimiter.
You know, I was listening yesterday. I was doing some renovation work here in the house. And I was listening to Pet Sounds.
The Beach Boys?
Yeah, the Beach Boys.
Martin, not the Beach Boys. It's Wilson. Brian Wilson's project. Yeah.
No. Pet Sounds was the Beach Boys. Yeah, it was the full Beach Boys band.
Oh, it was? Yeah. I thought it was just Brian Wilson. Okay. Well, they say it's the best album ever made.
Don't know if I.
No, we all know that's Rush. Come on,
right? I say 2112. Let's not get crazy here, but they just you just don't music like that is gone. It's just gone, man.
It'll come back.
It like that is just it's just beautiful. It's beautiful creativity.
This is what happens when you get old, Dave. This is what happens. You start talking like this.
That was before my time. I was born in 76. That was before me. And I just have such, I've said this before, you know, my daughter's, like all the bands and stuff that are at the Community Arts Center here that they got tons of bands and nobody wants to play anything new.
No.
Everything they play is from the 90s or earlier.
Yeah. And that's beautiful.
Because there's nothing new is you might tap your toe to it, but you don't want to like play it.
It's a toe tapper.
Yeah. Anyway, that's an aside. We got a donation from our friends at Transistor.
Yes.
$500.
Thank you. Wow.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you, boys and girls at Transistor. That's very much appreciated.
That would be John and Justin over there.
Yep.
Podcasting 2.0 is basically one ongoing hackathon that never ends. Well, that's a quote from you.
Except we don't have any pizza.
Well, he says, well, here's some free pizza. From your friends at transistor.fm, wishing you the best in 2026.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Everything helps, of course. Everything helps.
Yep. That is our only PayPal, one-off PayPal. We got some boosts, though. We got two anonymous from True Fans for $47.30. Mm-hmm. Those look like streamings, which are, that's great. And then we've got the delimiter. So there's clearly, like you said, there's clearly a mismatch going on now between the node, and I'm going to have to go figure that out. So I will figure out what went to the node, the Albi hub thing, LN address, hickey,
widget, the widget.
Yeah, widget. I'll figure what that was, and I'll read anything we missed on the show next week.
Okay, good.
Because that's on a different machine, and it's not playing nice with my script anymore. But Comic Strip Blogger did give us 17,515 sats, the nice. Fountain. And he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Vince Gilligan created Breaking Bad, and he has over $60 million. But still, I'd like to recommend his new TV show, Pluribus, on Apple TV. Reasons. It's an allegory of AI stealing content and taking over mankind without consent. But also, because purebred Polish MILF, she has two sons, actress plays Zosia, a chaperone, and free use lesbian. What is a free use lesbian, by the way?
I don't even want to know. I don't. I just don't want to know.
Okay, CSB. Oh, wait. Yo. CSB AI Arch Wizard.
He is the AI Arch Wizard. That's, he has a hat, so he's the
I'm gonna have to be clued in on what a free use lesbian is. The monthlies, we got a lot of them.
Oh.
Jeremy Gerds, $5. Michael Hall, $5.50. New Media, that's Rob and Todd, RIP, $30. Oystein Berha, $5. Jorge Hernandez, $5. Michael Goggin, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Johns Creek Studios, LLC, $5. Dreb Scott, $15. Chris Bernardick, $5. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Saggio Management Group, $50. Thank you, Saggio. Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Kevin Bay, $5. Mark Graham, $1. Brendan at Podpage, $25. And Martin Lindeskog, $1. Thank you, guys. That's our group.
Thank you all very much for supporting the Podcast Index. That's why we do the show, besides the fact that Dave and I just want to catch up once a week. Go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom is where you can find a big red donate button. Hit that to send some PayPal fiat fun coupons to us. Of course, we always appreciate the boosts through the Podcasting 2.0 compatible apps and appreciate all of the support, time, talent, treasure. So everything matters. Of course, if you want to join podcastindex.social, you can always follow Adam or Dave through the Fediverse. Or if you want to join and you have something to contribute, just hit us up and we will give an invite link.
Did you played the donation segment? Do you want to hear her advice on money in general?
Of course.
So okay. Other examples of money leaks is you not getting money back when you let someone borrow money. Okay. Let's say you pay for someone's dinner and you're like, oh, just PayPal, Venmo, Zelle me, right? And they're not. If they're not paying you, they are leaking their energy. But if you're not actually reaching out to them, you're leaking your energy, right?
This generation is lost, Dave. They're leaking energy left and right. It's so bad. It's
look, horrible. I'm just thinking about Mitch and Archie. I just don't want them leaking energy.
Don't leak out your energy, boys. You know, you just got to follow up with people. You've got to spend 3 hours per user writing them an email.
Yeah.
I'll work on it. I don't know. We're not at the stage. Maybe LLM can help with the emails at some point.
Hey guys, congratulations on all the work that is really looking good. And do you have a timeline for full on release of the web and possibly the app?
Well, the alpha web, I'm expecting it to be done this month. But in terms of when will it be fully live? For replacing the legacy app, that won't be until the mobile app is finished, and it's hard to promise deadlines on that. I would like to say it should be safely done and deployed by summer.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, as I mentioned, the website should be a standalone product that people may be able to deploy for their own purposes before the mobile app is even finished. So it would be cool to see Podverse deployed and running for somebody else before we even fully go live with it.
Well, will you have a test flight and a, you know, private beta on the Android side for the new app?
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely will.
Yeah. Count us in, man. Count us in. Archie, any cool parting words?
Go podcasting.
Hey guys, happy new year. Congratulations again. We look forward to having you back on when everything launches. And thank you for all you're doing for 2.0 and for podcasting in general. It's highly appreciated.
Good to be
here. Absolutely. Thank you guys.
All right. Brother Dave, have yourself a great weekend. More renovation.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Winter renovation and hopefully some smoker action.
Smoker action. All right. Yeah. Crack is on, baby. All right, everybody. Boardroom, thank you very much. Have yourselves a great weekend. We'll be back next Friday for another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! That's a big bottom.